Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I am so excited about our guest this week. I was going to say if there was a Mount Rushmore of old queens, his face would be on it, but that's a problematic thing to say right now. But
sure,
he's one of the greats. Please let our listeners know who we've got with us this week.
Well, he's a writer, performer, and author of the new book, Drag, Combing Through the Big Wigs of Show Business. It's Frank DeCaro.
Yay! I will happily put my face anywhere, including Mount Rushmore. So thank you.
They'd be lucky to have you.
They would.
I have now become the oldest queen on your show, so yay for that.
That's true.
I think yes, that's true.
Oh, that's true. I love, yeah, underline that. It's true. It really is. Oh, he's so much older than we are. Oh, wow. Fine. It's fine. No, it's fine. The girl across the street got a big sign up and it said valedictorian 2020. And I was like, I saw it. I was like, I was valedictorian. And I said, and I did the math, I said 40 years ago, and it was like, oh my God. Yeah, it was 40 years ago last month. I was doing Paul Lynde. Yeah, I was doing Paul Lynde impressions during my valedictory speech. I'm not kidding. I really did that.
So edgy. I love it.
Yeah. Queer, definitely. Or fagoonstery, as we used to say. But yeah. It's
dirty. How did it go over?
It was good. I got laughs. It was fun.
There you go.
That's the most. I bet classic. She didn't get laugh across the street.
No, she didn't. But, she, you know. And she's
playing the cars driving by.
So, oh, well. I went to a better school anyway. That's what I told her. I said, where'd you get into? Uh-huh. No, I didn't do that. I was nice about it.
So. Frank, we got a question from a listener, and we thought you would be the perfect person to help answer this. This
sure.
is from Tired and Spice on Instagram. She says, love the show. I was wondering if you guys have a short list of movies that you would recommend for gay people. Like, what are the ideal answers for that category
of
movies
God.
That you would recommend for gay people, excluding the one we're discussing today?
Showgirls, obviously.
Showgirls is up there, yeah.
Imitation of Life, the Douglas Sirk version.
Yes.
Blazing Saddles, because you really do need to see Buddy, the director, who, when he's confronting the chorus line of gay people, and they all say, yes. And he says, it sounds like steam escaping. You know, so yeah.
Is that Dom DeLuise?
Dom DeLuise, yeah.
Yes.
He's good.
I used to love that movie, that section too. Especially.
Yeah, that section is that's the gay part of it. You have to watch that.
Yes.
What else is like the gayest? I mean, Glitter, but that's like once you've gotten tired of everything else. That's sort of extra. Glitter with Mariah Carey is extra credit.
Yeah.
The 401.
Yeah, what else? What else would you
I mean,
pick?
You got like your Valley of the Dolls is pretty iconic.
Yes,
you need
yes,
that
yes.
in there.
I mean, Paris is Burning.
Paris is Burning, of course.
Two Wrongs Through is right.
I think Anti-Mame, not Mame the musical with Lucille Ball, but Anti-Mame with Rosalind Russell. You got to check that one. All About Eve.
Although, okay. Yeah, All About Eve, definitely. But, and Sunset Boulevard, sure.
Sure.
But also, but for the gays that we know mm-hmm. and like, you have to watch the Lucy Mame.
You do.
And secretly appreciate it. Okay, you have to go. Oh no!
You got to keep that very secret. That
yeah, you have to do, and you have to. You don't tell too many people that you like it best. You know,
it's secret. Like contraband.
Yeah, because it kind of the right kind of gay can appreciate when she's terrifying in the Santa Claus mask. You know, when Lucy sings "We Need a Little Christmas" and she puts on this plastic mask that looks like a serial killer would wear. You have to sort of, if you're the kind of gay who finds that funny, then you're okay. Sit with me, you know? So
if that's okay, if that's gets you excited for Christmas, then yes.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I would say. But yeah, that's a good starting place. I mean,
there's
some of the hits.
Those are all the essentials.
Mildred Pierce is good too, because you have to.
Oh, that's another great one.
You have to hear Joan Crawford say, and Mommy Dearest. Oh, now that we have to see Mommy Dearest.
With a straight jacket.
Yeah, they're also good. But when she says to Vita, "I would rather cut off my hand than strike you," or whatever it is, it's something along those lines. It's like, yeah, whatever. Hit her again, you know. Vita's horrible. So.
Well, maybe we should get into it, because speaking of long-suffering mothers.
And child abuse, yes, that's the subject of
plenty of child abuse. Today we are talking about, it's our first John Waters movie. We're talking about female trouble. John, what's the deal with female trouble?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with female trouble. It came out in 1974, is written, produced, directed, co-composed, and co-edited by John Waters.
Thank you.
It's the story of a spoiled schoolgirl who runs away from home, gets pregnant while hitchhiking, and ends up as a fashion model for a pair of beauticians who like to photograph women committing crimes. It stars Divine, David Lockery, Mary Vivian Pierce, Mink Stole, Edith Massey, Michael Potter, Cookie Mueller, and Susan Walsh. The film is actually dedicated to the Manson family member Charles Tex Watson. And Water says that his visits to Watson in prison inspired the crime is beauty theme of the film. In the film's opening credits, John Waters includes a wooden toy helicopter that Watson made for him. And that is the deal with female trouble.
So, Frank, we asked you to pick a movie. Why Female Trouble?
Okay, Female Trouble, I think, is not only... It's definitely my favorite John Waters movie, and I do think it's his Citizen Kane. I think it is it is everything a John Waters movie should be. It is the most perfect of his movies. And I would go so far... I don't know if I would say it's my favorite movie of any and all time, but it's definitely in the top five. I mean, I just think it is about as perfect a movie as a movie can get. It is a mind-warping take on fashion, beauty, fame, punk rock, the Me Too movement, everything is in there.
It's very prescient, yes.
Oh, it's just, it says, you know, they always gave Andy Warhol credit for, you know, predicting our current the fame of the last decade and a half or so. But John Waters, I mean, this is proto-punk. It nails the way we treat fame. I mean, it really is, you can be famous for anything, including murder, and that's what Divine does best. And she's so good in this movie. She's really brilliant in this movie. You know, I mean,
absolutely.
Watching it again on Blu-ray, because the Criterion Blu-ray is what a movie like this when a drag queen masturbates with raw fish, that should be in the Criterion.
Like, we need this as high def as we can get it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It does look beautiful. But it is kind of astounding to me how good Divine is in this, because she does everything from, you know, she kind of does a little bit of Stella Dallas, a little bit of Joan Crawford, some beach blanket movies, a little some Russ Meyer.
It's a very epic movie. Like, it starts with her in high school and like all the adventures she goes on. She really has to do a lot. She's asked to do a lot in this movie.
And you think they would have given her a break after eating dog poop in Pink Flamingos. It's sort of
now we're just getting started.
Yes, she did say. She said, I didn't eat dog poop. I put it in my mouth, swished it around, and spit it out. It's like, oh, all right, that's true. I guess that isn't technically eating dog poop. But, you know,
specifics matter.
It's true.
That's true, sure.
John, what's your background with female? What's your history with female trouble?
Female trouble? Well, when I first saw any John Waters movie, it was not the best way to do it because a friend of mine who I worked with had like a whole lot of DVDs that had like two movies on like a DVD. And he loaned me three of them, but I could only borrow them that one weekend. So I watched five John Waters movies in a row, which was like, not like, I love his movies, but they also like, you are entering an alternate universe.
Yes.
And so like, after watching them, I was like, I guess no one's ever really been a good actor. Like everyone's always been doing some weird kind of take. But I've seen it several times over the years since then. I think it's great. I agree it's one of his best. And I also think what's funny too, is like in rewatching it the other day, I was like, oh, I forgot. Like, there's so much that happens in it that you almost have to watch it five or six times to sort of, like, remember yes. everything because there's so much craziness in it that it sort of, like, wants you to have repeat viewings but, like, rewards you for it, too. So, yeah, I mean, it's one that I love and I revisit every couple of years, and it's always a lot of great fun. How about you, Mark? What's your history with female?
Well, I remember I had a film school teacher show me the Christmas scene. Early on, so that's the scene I was like most familiar with, and I don't know, I think I've only seen the whole thing once like years ago, but I always loved that Christmas scene so much. And then watching the whole thing, I do think this is probably his best movie. It is like epic. And then also at the end, I was like, this is what Joaquin Phoenix's Joker was trying to be. Like, it's almost like a supervillain, like, origin story, you know what I mean? She's almost like a Batman villain in a way, like, packed so much
definitely.
Like, I don't know. There's so much like drama, and there's so much. Everyone's. I also love whenever the whole world is constantly outraged. Everyone is constantly outraged in this movie. Mm-hmm. I think it's also endlessly quotable. Every line is like a zinger. It's so funny. I don't know. I think it's his best movie. So I love it. I gave it 5 stars out of 5 stars.
Right. Can we give them more than 5?
No, absolutely not.
All right. It's going to happen.
5 and a little dog poop emoji, maybe, or something. But no, I was going to say, I found myself, and I'm loath to use these words, with a shit-eating grin on my face during the entire movie. I just sat there from the moment it starts, and you can feel it in your cheek muscles because you're sitting there like an idiot because it's so funny, and it's so warped that you kind of get drunk on this movie, sort of.
Yes.
You know, or you get a little bit of, it's playing, you know, you get the vapors a little. You're like, oh my God, what's going on? And you kind of like, they're all sort of awful and all kind of wonderful and, you know, when you see the three girls and they kind of are posed on a couch, these three cat burglars, and they kind of look like Valley of the Dolls, but even more warped. And it's kind of, it's hilarious. And you don't really want, you know, I was watching the school scene and a girl who's like the narc says, right. Dawn Davenport is eating a meatball hero right out in class. And I watched that, and even though I side with Dawn, when I was in high school, I would have been that horrible girl reporting the bad kid, you know? It's like, so now I was like, oh God, I'm the square, you know? But I gave that up. I left that behind, thank heaven. God. But no, I you know, I didn't hang around with the naughty girls, but now we worship them, you know? So...
Well, Frank, as you may or may not know, we are looking for the gayest movie ever. So we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge this movie with a ton of categories. So we're going to go through a bunch of categories. And towards the middle, you are going to add a category, and it could become canon. So we got, let me go through. This is our current top 5. So this is their percentage out of 100. So number 5 with 72.74% is Labyrinth. Number 4 with 76.5%, Cats. Number 3 with 76.52%, Funny Girl. Number 2 with 78.59%, Bradley Cooper's A Star Is Born. And our current reigning champ with the 79.51% is Grease 2. Now we'll see if Funny Girl...
If Female Trouble, you mean.
That's it. Well, Dawn is a funny girl.
She is a funny girl. That's true.
She's a very funny girl.
Funny, ha-ha, funny, queer, funny everywhere. Yeah, that's true.
So we're all going to, for this first round of categories, we're all going to score out of 0 to 100, and then we take the average of all three of our scores. So our first category is homoeroticism. So on a scale of 0 to 100, how homoerotic is female trouble?
70%, I would say, because gator.
What are you giving it for? Gator, go ahead.
For gator's penis, it's got kind of, because
yeah.
Yes. Divine Dawn Davenport marries the unflaggingly heterosexual hairdresser Gator Nelson, and it costs her face because his aunt throws acid in her face. Ida. But yeah. There's something so skanky about Gator, and it dawns on you while you're watching him naked and telling his stepdaughter to suck on daddy's dick and horrible things, you know, that you'd be like, yeah, I'd have said yes to Gator. I would totally have done Gator. And, you know, and you're embarrassed. You're horrified. But you're like, right. Yeah, I'd have done Gator.
I'd act like I didn't know him out in public.
Oh, God, yeah. No. Oh, no. And you wouldn't do him twice, I don't think. But it would be.
Probably not.
But you'd be like, yeah, I think I'd have to do this.
Okay. I scratched that itch.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not a lot of like true male on male or female on female eroticism happening in this movie. But there's just something so just like gay about the whole thing. I'm going to give
absolutely.
It an 85.
85. I'm going to go 77 because it is, I think you see Gator's like erect penis. I was looking and I'm pretty sure it looks.
It's what John would call a Hollywood loaf. That's what John Waters, not John Flynn, John Waters, you could too. John Waters used to call it a Hollywood loaf. And that's when it's plumped, but not fully aroused.
Not fully erect. Because doesn't it become technically pornography?
I guess, but it's also then people who aren't around them all the time think that's what they really look like. And you're sort of like,
right.
when they're in repose, they right. do not look like, oh baby, generally speaking,
right,
they're
right,
not
right.
Oh baby, oh baby. They're just kind of hi, you know. See
like
you later,
taking
baby.
A nap. Right,
yeah,
right,
taking
right,
a
yeah.
nap. Yeah, don't leave me alone for now. It's not like wow, you know. But some guys are like wow, but mostly not. So,
all right. So
I scored so low. I thought 70 was high. I almost want to go.
You can change it if you want to change it. You're welcome.
83. I want to go to 83.
83
for Gator's Hollywood low. Yeah.
Great Hollywood. Given an average of 81.67.
Good.
All right. Alrighty. Next category, actual gay characters. Quite a few.
Yeah.
All those hairdressers.
The hairdressers.
Except for Gator. Yeah.
Except for Gator.
Who is Anna, you know, wishes long has he was gay.
Yeah.
Just kind of driving the plot.
And Ida's a lesbian, so she counts, right? That's
yes.
good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dawn seems
to be like she'll have sex with anyone just in terms of like she becomes like a lesbian in prison.
Yeah, there's so that count. Mm-hmm. Oh, in a women's prison. Yeah, there's a lot of gay in
there's
this.
There's a lot
yeah.
of gay characters in
and,
this movie.
And she has sex with herself because Divine plays a rapist as well, which I think a lot if you've seen some gay couples, then they match so much that they kind of do look like
yeah,
makes sense. And
twins or boyfriends. That used to be a Tumblr, I think. Twins or boyfriends. That was boyfriend twins, I think it was. .tumblr.com. Check it out.
I actually was at a party and I'd had too much to drink. And when I was introduced to someone's boyfriend, I actually said to the person, and it was a party in his honor. Okay? This is the worst friggin' thing I've ever done in public. I looked at him and I looked at his cute boyfriend, and they're both cute, but I said, well, Jesus, this isn't narcissistic at all. Because they match. But I said it to his face at his party. Why would someone do that? Why? Oh, my
You're
God.
You're speaking truth to power.
You I don't, do yes, but I feel like I wrote a letter. I was horrified.
How did they respond? Were they actually insulted or did they act
Yeah,
confused?
They were pissed off. They were, but they forgave me. But I just was like, what a shitty thing to say. And out loud to their face at their party. Suddenly you become like, it's like the boys in the band and you're Harold, you know? And it's like turning. It's like, why did I do that? So
just because
well.
It's shitty doesn't mean it wasn't accurate.
No, but that doesn't absolve me of more than 80% of the guilt, but still, there's still that 20% that I'm really horrible. So
you got to forgive yourself. So what do you want to give female trouble for actual gay characters?
96%.
96.
Yeah, I'm going to go 92.
I think this is probably the most gay characters we've actually had in a movie. Because, like, Star is Born only had, like, three drag queens.
Right, they have just, like, a handful.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give it a 94. Woo! An average of 94. That is our current highest in gay character. All right, you might do very well in this category. On a scale of 0 to 100, how campy is Female Trouble?
100.
I mean, yeah, you've got to go 100. It's dedicated to one of the Manson killers. Like, yes. It's campy.
Frank, how do you define camp? I would love to hear. Do you have
I love the quote about it's is it a fist on a limp wrist or something like that? That's there's some quote like that that I, you know, and I think that's a good way to put it. Camp to me is referential in that you should know other things going into it. I think that it should be about something that came before and then perverting it, you know? We all watched when they did camp at the Met Gala in New York a year or so ago. and it was like, no, you all kind of blew it. What they needed to do was get Madonna and Cyndi Lauper to show up together. One is Blanche and one is Jane Hudson, pushing her, you know, in the wheelchair. And, Blanche in the wheelchair. And that, to me, would have been, you know, because then it would reference their own rivalry in the 80s.
Yeah. Right.
Would reference the old movie. It would be them sort of burying the hatchet. I don't think just showing up on a sedan chair with, you know, which was the best thing, that Billy Porter on the sedan chair was the best thing. But but I think if he'd shown up dressed as Elizabeth Taylor in Cleopatra, that might have been better. You know, that would have been a little step up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that definition. I have a list of campy things. Just as very granted, every second of this movie is camp. Granted, but these are just a few things that I picked out. The meanest girl in high school, throwing your books into the locker, tattling, Christmas, throwing a tantrum, ridiculously shit-stained underwear, biting off an umbilical cord, dumping your trash into the neighbor's yard, getting offended when someone rejects your offer at a job offer at a bathhouse, verbally abusing your daughter but pausing to pose for a picture, getting acid throws in your face, posing for pictures in your hospital bed, getting injected with liquid eyeliner, strangling your daughter in your dressing room before your onstage debut where you do a trampoline act and then masturbate with the fish. So this is 100. I don't
this
know.
This is, yeah. There can't be anything less.
There's nothing. Yeah, this is what we mean when we
say it is divine. It really is.
It is.
Truly.
Did you ever see Divine live in anything, Frank?
I did more than once.
What did you see?
And
what?
The first time was at a club in Chicago in the early 80s. It was called Lacage. And he came out and he told the filthiest joke I've ever heard about male and female genitalia, both of which were dirty. And she said, I said to the couple, why don't you go home and make a Denver omelet? Okay. Meaning that's what would happen if their dirty junk got together, you know? And then I asked the artificially intelligent device that I don't want to say her name on my desk that you get from Amazon. Okay. I said, play Divine. And it's a shuffling songs by Divine. And in the middle of it, there's a live recording, and she tells the Denver omelet joke on Alexa. I was like, oh, my God. You know, so she lit up. Sorry. Anyway, but she did. It's the filthy joke ever. Bruce Valanche probably wrote it back in the day. But it's dirty. And then I actually interviewed Divine when she was coming through Detroit, and it was 9 or 10 days before she died. She played at a club called Taboo, I think it was, in Detroit. And I came out of there saying, boy, Divi doesn't look so good. He was so sweaty and, you know, looked unhealthy. And then he passed, unfortunately. But what a sweetheart.
That's what everyone says.
I was a big, big, big fan. And I've gotten to meet John. I even saw Edith Massey. I even saw Aunt Ida.
Yeah.
She had a punk song called Hey Punks, Get Off the Grass. And we went to see her perform in Chicago. And I brought my little record, you know, it was a picture sleeve 45. And somebody during the show screamed, "Hey, Edith, are you retarded?" And she just, without missing a beat, she said, "Aren't we all just a little bit retarded?" And it just was like, yes, Edith, yes. And that's why we love you. Yes, we're all just a little bit retarded. So sorry about the R word, people, but you know.
Context.
Yes.
All right, our next category. You might do very well in this too. Over the top wardrobe. How would you score the over the top wardrobe in Female Trouble?
Me, 100.
Yeah,
I can't give it less. I wish there were bigger numbers. I do. I mean, it's like 108. I mean, it's just it's.
Mark won't let you do that.
No, 100. Let's go with 100.
Do you have any? Are there any favorite looks of yours?
Yes, there is the leopard print lamé one shouldered.
Yes, Divine as Prostitute. Yes,
with the sleeve that's built in with the glove and the fake nails on the end of the sleeve. Is one of the most beautiful garments ever. And in my house in New Jersey, I have the life-size cardboard stand-up of Divine wearing that. And I love it. And I had it framed, and it's bigger than a twin-size bed. It's ridiculous. It's like, we couldn't get it. We went to get it. We're like, we have to go borrow someone's truck. We couldn't get it home.
What do we know with the truck?
Yeah, we do. Thank God our neighbor had a truck. So we went and picked up Divine. And we hung it up, and my father's World War II buddy came in, and he said, "Hey, Frankie, is that you in that picture?" And I was like, "No, it's Divine." It's like, so I wish, but no, except alive. But yeah, no, but that's my favorite outfit. So
it's incredible.
That one's 100. I also think Edith Matthey's leather outfit.
That jumpsuit. It took three people to get her into that.
Mm-hmm.
And there are Kardashian pictures. If you've ever seen them, there are pictures of the Kardashians wearing almost that outfit. It's pretty funny. like from 2 or 3 years ago, I remember doing like a Who Wore It Better collage, you know, to post on Instagram. Because it was shocking. It was Aunt Ida, you know.
Yeah. It all comes around again.
I also loved Dawn's bridal gown, where you could see her pubic hair right through.
Oh, yes.
her
underwear.
Her cheater. You can see her merkin right through it. God love her.
Well, it read as a merkin at least.
Yes.
True.
I'm also going to give this 100.
Alrighty.
All right. This is another category you might do very well. Drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch Female Trouble and come away with some ideas?
Any drag queen worth her salt has stolen from this movie.
Absolutely.
Could you imagine being stumped after seeing this movie?
No, I mean, it is kind of amazing. I have to say, the thing, though, it's not so much how brilliant Divine looks and how this is pre-punk, and she's got a mohawk, and she's got eyeliner that stops behind her head, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, she shaves the sides of her head because there's not enough room for eyeliner.
She needs a bigger forehead.
Behind her ears, okay? That's the machinist thing. But then when she jumps in the water to escape, like, the hunting police dogs, mm-hmm. only to get caught on the other side, it's like she's going downriver and she hits her mark. I mean, it's like a drag queen. Nothing falls off her. The wig doesn't go anywhere. The
colors
don't fall out.
The wig stays.
Yeah.
She does an entire trampoline act.
Yeah, and everything stays put. It's kind of, you know, if
it's inspiring in that way too.
It's a life lesson. It really is. If you, in life, if you can do a trampoline act and your wig doesn't fall off, then. It's
you're
a good
doing
day.
All right.
Yeah.
I think you should get the Nobel Prize or Presidential Medal of Freedom at least.
Apparently she was thrilled when she did the somersault because it was over. Because she was like, I'm not doing it again.
Never again.
She flipped over on the, she did it good too. God bless.
It's amazing. It's so fun.
That's 300 pounds a person flipping over, you know. So
she did that in some live shows from what I read a long time ago.
Oh my God.
And then the throwing the fish was part of her live act too.
Well, that's one thing, but doing a trampoline act, it's like they better be paying you a lot of money. It's like
Bianca Del Rio. Do you know what the budget for this movie was? $25,000.
Oh my, nice. And it's all on that screen. Oh my God.
Every penny is up on that screen. So Frank, what are you going to give this for 0 to 100 for drag queen inspiration?
100.
Yeah, I gotta go 100 as well.
Okay, if you're gonna do I was gonna go to 99 just to break it up. Like, yeah, 100.
It has to be, yeah.
It's gotta be 100.
It's gotta be 100. Also, just in terms of like the fearlessness and like the shock factor of like, because everything now is like, especially like, you know, it feels like so safe and like, you know, focus group, but like there's like an edge to this, and then like it's still like, this feels more like edgy and like subversive than like current thing, you know? And it's
definitely,
yeah. John Waters used to say that Divine terrified drag queens, you know? It was because she did everything that you were not supposed to do. You know, it was like, she's 300 pounds. What's she gonna wear? A fringed bikini and get on a go-go box and be shot from a low angle. You know, I mean,
you don't do that.
Nobody does that. You know, it's everyone's like, they know where their ring light is. They've got it all perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, this is like, how can I look my fattest? It's like, yeah. how can it shake more? What, you know, what less can I wear?
But still so like confident and like loving herself and like being like so proud in that moment. There's something like really mm-hmm. like beautiful about it, I think.
Well, she has my favorite line of anything, because body positivity sort of bugs the shit out of me. I have to say, it really does.
You like body negativity?
I like body. I like, I'm sex negative. I'm body negative. I just, it's like, if it's
hope
not
COVID
beautiful,
negative.
Yeah, oh. That too, I hope. No, but it's like, if it's not beautiful, cover it up. If you're not gorgeous, turn the lights off. It's disgusting. You know, it's gross. Even if you're cute, it's mostly gross. You know, I have my own issues and stuff, but Divine said the best thing to me that is the body positivity, the way I can handle it. She said, all my life I wanted to look like Elizabeth Taylor, and now she's starting to look like me. That's my idea of body positivity. It's like, okay.
Amazing.
Yeah. All right. So, perfect.
Beautiful. I love my divvy.
Mm. All right. So on the next category, on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend this to gay people?
I don't want to know gay people who don't love this movie. You not only have to, this is a litmus test of whether we should be friends. You have,
yeah.
If this,
not just seen it. You can't have just seen it.
No.
That's a
you
minimum.
Have to, yeah. You have to really think it's about as funny gets. And so what's the most extremely likely? 100. Likely.
100.
I recommend it. I used to take, see, I would be, this is my, why I never dated anybody. Successfully. I have a husband now, but it's 24 years.
You never dated?
No, I did, but I was like Spock. Every 7 years, you know, he would have a muck time and
yeah.
He would get laid. That was me. Every 7 years I get laid. So, but I would find like I was at Northwestern, you know, and you'd meet these cute Midwestern boys and you'd say, oh my God, come to this double feature with me. And I remember this cute little blonde, butter wouldn't melt in his mouth. And I took him to the double feature of Pink Flamingos and Female Trouble. And I don't think he lasted more than about 30 minutes and went running screaming. We never saw him again. I think he dropped out of school and ran home.
Came a woman.
It was Mike Pence, wasn't it?
I think it was. I would have. I'm not taking one for him. That's it. No, but and my days of topping are over. Please, Mike. I just can't do it. No, I was going to say I would find like the least likely candidate, you know, it's like you should find some other pervert and take them with you. But no, I had to get the sweet little farm boy and mm-hmm. see if they could pass the test. And they never did, but who could blame them? You know?
John, what are you going to give it for?
I'm going to say 100. If I'm talking to some gay person and they're like, oh, you know, I've never seen Female Trouble. I'm just like, unabashedly, you have to go see this movie. You have to check it out.
I would, for me personally, of every movie we've ever done on this show, I would put this movie first. You need to watch this first. Mm-hmm. That's just where I'm coming from.
That's who you are.
I'm with you. It's like this. There's certain things, you know, when you think, I mean, I know, I don't think necessarily you have to break up with somebody if they don't like something you don't like or you do like, but I do think, like, I don't think I could, if my husband hadn't really liked Little Britain, that would have really been a problem for me, you know? Because Little Britain, the TV series, is to me mm-hmm. the most transgressive, funny, improper kind of thing on television. Mm-hmm. And you know, the fact that he liked Female Trouble, he didn't want to watch it again last night. I said, you want to watch it again? He's like, no, it's okay. I said, is he going to go watch The Housewives? Yeah. So I put him in his room he watched 2 episodes of The Housewives. And I spent time with, you know, the Real Housewives of Baltimore and, you know, with this.
There
you go.
I think I went from Female Trouble to the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yeah, that was last
that was my
night.
Evening.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Our next category, the male gaze. So how horny is the camera for the male form? I mean,
we get
a totally unnecessary close up of Gator's dick.
Yeah. And like his taint. Yeah.
His taintal region. And after the rape, you see Divine's dirty Terwilliger as well. That's it's really scurvy looking. Yeah. It's sort of, you know, it's gross. You'd have to be German to like that one. No, that's just young. You'd have to be.
But also, like, David Lockery is always, like, very, like, sensually, you know, like, he's always got a big scoop neck. You get that little light dusting of chest hair. I think John Waters likes. Right.
Like, the women aren't treated you so, do, like, even yeah. sexual. You know what I mean? The women get off real easy in this movie. Other than Divine,
yeah, I think. Yeah.
So, what would you give this for the male gaze, Frank?
95. Yes.
I'll go 95 as well.
95. I mean, I'm going to go 100. Okay. There's a close-up of a dick. I mean, what more do you need?
Yeah, but it's not exactly like, you know.
John Woo wouldn't have done that.
No, it's No, but Derek Jarman, it would have been that for 3 hours, you know, and, you know. But
those movies need a climax.
It's true.
Right, next category. Entrances with pizzazz.
Oh, my God.
There's tons.
I mean, Mink Soul has a great entrance as older Taffy.
Yeah. She's and interrupting sex.
Yeah. Divine bursts into the room and has a modeling fit. And
yes.
Running down the street and horrifying people in Baltimore.
Mrs. Dasher have one.
Yeah. Yeah. And like a siren and goes off when they enter.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And the blinking red light. That's so funny. But yeah. And also when Divine comes out on stage where she's doing her nightclub act that ends in murder, it's kind of, that's a pretty brilliant entrance as well. So entrances are kind of, can we give a point for exit too? Because when Divine goes to, she's going to go wash away the stench of a 5-year marriage, you know, when she goes up the stairs. That's like her Douglas Sirk moment.
Yeah.
Before, I mean, Polyester is totally her Douglas Sirk movie, but right, that was like a little Douglas Sirk moment of, you know, it might as well be Lana Turner going up to take a bath.
So what are you going to give this for entrances with pizzazz?
Oh, 95 as well.
95.
I'm going to go 90 for this one.
90. I will also go 90 for this. Give an average of 91.67, which is more than Top Gun, which only has 51.67.
All right, so we're doing pretty good.
All right, our next category, dramatic lighting. Now, this was shot on, it is Betray the low budget. It is like 16 millimeter. I feel like they didn't have a lot of options with the lighting, but there is like an aesthetic choice to the 16 millimeter that does work for the film, I would say. A rawness, as it were.
It were.
Oh,
but there's not.
Let's give it
no Suspiria.
No, let's 75.
Yeah, 75 sounds good.
I'll go 75.
Yeah,
I like the harsh lighting.
Yeah.
All right, you might do very well in this category. Strident women. I mean, the most.
You've got the snitchy girl at the beginning, young Frank DeCaro. She's very strident.
You got Chicklet.
Divine herself is just insane.
The two girls are going to. The two girls want to. Divine's pals, Chicklet and Concetta, they want to return Christmas presents because you can do that, you know, get the money back. They're horrible and strident. Everyone in the prison is kind of, you know.
Yes. The prison guards.
The prison guards are horrible. Yeah. Edith Massey.
She's. Yeah. And the women who sit in the beauty chairs they're awful as well. I mean, they're just, you know, Taffy wins for the most strident though. I mean,
she's amazing. Yeah.
And she says to her stepfather, "Writing a book, hippie." It's like, you know, which is also very punk. Being anti-hippie is very punk before punk. You know, so. That's kind of an amazing thing. Yeah, it does really well. 95 for strident.
95.
I'm going to go 98.
98. I mean, I'm trying to think of a movie that would have more strident women. Like, what is the 100 then, not this?
I think if Joan Crawford is in anything, even if she's alone, it's 100. Okay.
Fair enough. I'm going to give it 100, personally. Good. That's just me, though, giving it a 97.67. It's tied with Ginger Snaps. All right, next category. Macabre. How macabre is Female Trouble?
I mean, it's pretty macabre. Divine rapes himself. They lock a child
on a mattress
in the
on the side of the road, yeah. Chaining Taffy to the bed.
They chop off Edith Matthey's hand.
Yes. Getting acid thrown in your face, being injected with liquid eyeliner.
Eating mascara brushes, having horrifying yes. skid marks in a rape scene, a dirty peen.
Taffy killing her father after he exposes himself and then vomits on her.
Yeah.
When you say it like that, it sounds problematic. But it's very funny when it happens in the movie.
In context, it's very whimsical.
See, I always think it's someone taking a swig of Campbell's pea soup. And there was bonus footage on the Blu-ray, and it's Divine putting his finger down his throat so he throws up on him.
Oh.
And
no,
I was just
happened.
Like, yeah, I mean, that's method, you know. Yeah, I was like, you could just take a swig of pea soup and go, bah, and that would be enough, you know.
Daniel Day-Lewis wouldn't do that. He wouldn't throw up on Mink Stole. No. And also just Dawn Sho, who wants to die for art. And then like the death
she
penalty.
Someone, yeah.
She gets electrocuted at the end.
Oh, it's
spoiler.
So, yeah, it's the way it goes. But it's a life lived. And the best moment in it, it's kind of macabre when it's kind of a Twilight Zone moment when she sees herself with the acid scarred face and no makeup. And her first words are, pretty, pretty.
You know, yes.
Pretty, pretty.
That's so funny.
Best thing ever.
I would love to have just that frame photo she has of herself scarred. It's in her apartment later. Like, how much would you pay for that?
Oh. Yeah, you do. You look at stuff and you think, oh. I was looking at the leopard dress with the one shoulder thinking, I wonder how much it would cost to get that made in my size. Should I have that? Even if I never wear it, shouldn't I just have that?
I think if it's you have it, you'll find there. An event to
you'll
wear
find
it.
Yeah, yeah, there's yeah, I think it's time. I'll shave for that one. So,
so we have what friends do you want to... we can get to throw a party yeah. for you just so you can wear that dress.
I mean, after if there's parties after we get through all this, wear whatever you want. Who cares? If anyone's judging you for what you're wearing after a pandemic, fuck them.
Oh no, I'm gonna be extra judgy when we get back. Oh my god, great. Especially because I'm bitter because I've gained weight. So oh my god, I'm even worse.
Everyone's gained weight, Frank.
Yeah, I know, but I'm the fatter I get, the more body negative I get. I get meaner. Everyone's like, don't be that person who loses weight and then gets mean. I was like, no, I get meaner because I'm mad at myself for gaining it back. It's like, no, I'm way meaner fat. Oh my god, way worse. I'm all sweetness and positivity when I'm going to the gym and I can see my feet. Now it's like, Jesus, what happened to you? You know,
so. So what do you want to give Female Trouble for Macabre on a scale of 0 to 100?
Oh, it's so warped. It's 99.
99.
Yeah, I'm going to go 100. I don't think you can get really that much weirder.
Yeah, I'm going to go 100. All right, this is another category it'll probably do really well in. Wigs. How would you rate the wigs in Female Trouble?
I think the wigs in this movie are only bested by wigs in other John Waters movies. You know,
right?
It really is. It's right. Like the only ones that are better in are in Hairspray. The wigs. Who else is wearing?
There's also the prosecutor in the courtroom has like a weird wig at the end.
And I don't know what's going on with Butterfly, the hairdresser. I don't know what's going on.
Oh yeah, some of their dresses.
That's the inspiration for the president's hairdo, I think. I don't know what's going on with Butterfly. But I'm trying to think, though, are the wigs really rocking in this? Or
yeah, no, Divine has a whole wig journey in this movie. Like, she totally. Starts out in high school with which feels like a very early, what's her name, from Hairspray?
Ricky Lake, Tracy Turnblad.
Ricky Lake, yeah, Tracy Turnblad. And then, like, later she's got that punk sort of weird mohawk thing that was sort of before the fashion where like her head's like the sides of her head is shaved. She's like all over the place with the wigs in this.
Okay, I'll give it a 95 only because Hairspray would get 100, so I'm gonna say 95.
I'll go 99 then, just for that.
Good
I'm gonna go 97, split the difference.
Oh good, okay. Then you're the average. Perfect.
And I'm the average. Oh, this is only slightly below Funny Girl, which has a 97.67.
Okay.
All right, next category. Quips. How quippy is Female Trouble?
As in quotable?
It's from
the beginning to the end. It's the entire script is quotable.
Yes.
even stuff that's not quotable, I found myself wanting to quote. I thought I have to get a copy of this. If it's not in shock value, which I don't think the script is in shock value, I have to get it just so I can, you know, it's kind
refer
of
refer to it.
Yeah. I mean, I already do, but you want to get it exactly right, you know, and it's terrible. The things that I love best, like I've beaten her mercilessly with a car aerial, you know, with her daughter. It's why that's.
I wouldn't
the
suck here. Your lousy dick if I was suffocating and there was oxygen in your
balls. In your balls, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's a quip.
That's yep. a quip.
Writing a book, hippie, is a quip.
Why didn't you listen to folk music and give me a break? I wrote down. I thought that one was fun.
And when she says the life of the heterosexual is a dull and boring experience.
Sick and boring life.
Sick
yeah.
and boring life. It's that whole spiel. And if you've ever seen it in the theater, the audience goes insane at that moment. I mean, they, given it's what the audience is, who's in the audience, you know. But, so yeah, how 99.
I'll go 99 as well.
99. I'm gonna go 100 because this is what I'm thinking. Woo! When I'm thinking quips.
Yeah.
I'm thinking this. All right, next category: vibrato.
So vibrato, we mean not just literal vibrato like that from singing, but also like anytime you get a little extra, a little zhuzh. Anytime like a moment has a little more like vibrato on it, or they give you more that you really like. Which I think, as in most John Waters movies, is going to be pretty high.
Everything is cranked to 11.
Mm-hmm.
No one feels anything subtly.
No. Well, no. If that's what vibrato means, if it's that extra.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's all about. I mean, everything is extra. It's because it's like when. When Aunt Ida gets upset that Gator goes away, not only does she lie on the floor screaming, it's shot so you can look right at her horrible dental work. I mean, it's like, it's sort of, what would be the most unflattering way to shoot this? Okay, let's do that.
Great, let's do that.
So, which is kind of why it's brilliant, especially since it's a movie about fashion and style and crime and beauty. And then 99 for this as well, I think. 99 is a better number than 100. 99.
I'll give it 98.
98. I'll give it 99 as well. Mm-hmm. Give it a 98.67, which is a lot higher than Scott Pilgrim versus the World, which only has an 87.67.
I like that movie, though. That was fun.
It's cute.
All right, our next category. This is our last category in the canon categories. Don't worry, there's about 30 more categories.
Okay.
Footwork. On a scale of 0 to 100, how's the footwork in Female Trouble?
There's actually a lot. There was the trampoline work. I think that falls under footwork.
Absolutely.
There was also in the very beginning when Divine is all mad at her daughter. She says, "I've told you, no jumping rope within 10 feet of me." That's footwork.
Yes. And the Gilga her like strip act is footwork. Mm-hmm.
Running down the street and shocking Baltimore that's citizens. Yeah. That's footwork. A lot of running for a fat girl. That's good.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Footwork.
And also just the fact that like it's all like it almost goes into motion because she didn't get cha-cha heels for Christmas.
Oh, sure. Yeah. 98.
You know what I mean? Like,
okay. Yeah, cha-cha heels. It's a shoe movie. Yeah. Okay, 98. 98. Yeah, that's shoe movie.
I will give it a 98 as well.
98. I'm going to go 100. We got trampoline.
Okay.
Giving an average of 98.67. All right. So now we're into the wheel category. So these are categories supplied by guests that are neither
previous guests. Yes. So we're going to spin the wheel. Non-traditional murder weapons.
All right. How are the non-traditional murder weapons in?
Well, there was a knife. Which is traditional, but it was covered in mayonnaise, which I thought that gave it a little something non-traditional. That's not something you always see. I mean, the acid, the eyeliner, like, I mean, they're not quite murder weapons necessarily, but they do make you crazy.
And does she strangle Taffy? How does she finally kill Taffy?
I think she just strangles her with her hands.
Uh-huh. All right. Shooting the audience. Wait, non-traditional?
Non-traditional murder weapons. Yeah, so like a gun probably wouldn't count.
I know. I'm going to say 85 for the mayonnaise on the knife.
On the knife.
Mayonnaise covered
knife. Mayonnaise-y knife. Yeah, I'll go 83 for that.
83, that's pretty high. I'm going to go 60 for a mayonnaise wife, given an average of 76. All right, wheel category nice. Number two. We're listening.
Mannequins.
Are there any mannequins in this
movie? I mean,
movie?
Do we think of a body double could sort of be a mannequin? Because we do have that one person acting as the other divine in the rape scene. So there's that.
I don't think there are.
No, I think there are more mannequins than like the average episode of Barnaby Jones, you know, getting thrown off a balcony and that same dummy. Yeah, I don't think there are any mannequins in this movie that I can think. Are they at the lipstick salon? I don't think
the
so.
The salon?
I don't think so. There's not even like a head. What are those fake heads where you put like your wigs on? There's nothing that. I don't know. It's not going to make or break. I think it's okay.
I mean, it's tough.
I'm feeling a lot of heaviness now.
The mannequins, let's put it this way. Mannequins, they say, are sort of like models. So there are models in this movie. Let's say 50%.
There are definitely a lot of models.
50%. 50.
Yeah, 50.
Yeah, I'll go 50 as well. That sounds about right.
50. I got to go zero. I got to stick to my guns. I'm so sorry.
Girl, I know.
Got to have your integrity.
God, if I don't have that when it comes to rating the mannequins and female trouble, what do I have?
How will you sleep tonight?
Barely. All right, spin that wheel again. Mannequins brought to us from Betsy Sodaro in the Tourist Trap episode.
Animal print.
Oh, my God.
Mean, there's 100. A ton of animal print.
That is, that
there's
leopard,
a ton.
All that matters is that the leopard print in that dress is the best leopard print anyone has ever used in an outfit.
Okay. Here's something I actually debated with my husband. Is it leopard print or is it cheetah print?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I kind of let him.
Because I think Michael Potter has like a tiger print wedding jacket.
Yes.
Vivian Pierce had all of her furs. There's a moment where there's just a boar's head on the wall. There's a vine's dress. And then also David Lockery, he had like a scoop neck with feathers at one point too.
Oh, actually, the scoop neck, I think it's like wig hair, actually. I think it's like hair.
Really?
Yeah, on that white, there it's like white.
Is it?
I think it's hair. That's why I love it. Yeah, I think it's wig hair. Maybe not. In my dream version, it is definitely.
Gotcha.
There's also Taffy has like a giraffe print when she's doing her car accident recreations.
It's true.
That is the. We should hike up the macabre numbers just for playing car accident.
I mean, playing car accident.
Yeah. Which is the funniest thing. She tells her to go do that outside. That's what I like. It's not even. That's so weird. She said, go do it outside. No, I think I always have a thing. My husband teases me. He says, is this good leopard or bad leopard? Because he heard me say that once. Because I do. There are things that are really bad leopard. And you're like, oh, bad leopard. Because I love leopard more than I love anything. It's my favorite.
Okay.
Neutral. I love it. But the best of the best is Divine's dress.
Yes. 100%.
With the one shoulder. So yeah, I give it an A plus 100% score for animal prints. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give it 100 as well. So many iconic
as
looks.
Will I.
Yes.
All right. So now we're into the last wheel category. Animal print brought to us by Nicole Byer in the Cats episode.
Finally, we have weird line deliveries.
I mean, are there any the weirder? Whole thing.
I mean, first of all, I love that the Baltimore accent, every time they say parents, I love that. Every time they say parents and it comes out as parents. But like anything Gator says, anything Edith Massey says, like there's just all these weird, unique, crazy line deliveries. This whole movie is just chock full of
them. When Gator says he's going to go find his life or his love in the auto industry,
yes.
Instead of industry, the auto industry. That's my favorite line reading in this. But yeah, it's all so stilted and you know, when they say something like "you can do that too," you know, I mean, she's gonna return the gifts for money. You can do that too. You know? Yeah, it's kind of because it's Baltimore, but it's also bizarro Baltimore too.
Right. Mm-hmm. As a California native, I get confused between the Baltimore and the Philadelphia accents.
I could see that.
It gets kind of thicker as you go down. You know, it kind of, because it does, it gets that like,
just kind of some of the sounds,
like a drawl.
No, but it gets more like hun. You know, when they get the closer you get to Baltimore, you hear hun more, uh-huh. and you hear boat. You know, out on a boat, and it's a little strange that you have. And I'm from New Jersey, so it's you can't really pick. You know, I can't point a finger, but yeah, the stilted line readings, it does real 99 again. Let's go with 99.
Yeah, I'll go to 99 as well.
You know what? I will also go 99.
Because it's better than 100.
99. Aesthetically.
Yeah, all right. And it makes you think of Barbara Feldon, you know, so that's good.
any opportunity.
Yeah.
All right, Frank, the time has come for you to add a category that we can use to judge how gay a movie is.
How gay a movie is. Oh my goodness, what would be a good category?
We can talk it out. There's no there's no pressure here.
What about is there a stereotypically flamboyant queen somewhere in the movie who is panicked over everything? Is that like, is anyone
panics
on
queen?
Wait, I know, panics queen?
Is anyone on fire in the movie? That's sort of
literally
what I mean.
Or figuratively. Gotcha,
literally,
I love it.
Yeah, let's go with that. Literally or figuratively on fire in the movie. And that could
literally or figuratively flaming queen?
Yes. Are you? Yes. Literally or figuratively. Yeah, because it could be. Because you think of something like, you ever see that movie Black Shampoo, where the gay guy is not only real, oh, he's real fruity, and then he does something bad, and he ends up, they get the hot, what's that thing you make curls with? A curling iron. Oh, and really? They shove it up his butt. They shove, yeah, he gets the old curling iron up the butt. Death.
That old trick.
No, yeah, don't do it without.
We thought
crazy.
It was a sleepaway camp that happened at.
Yeah, no, it's bad. You need to see Black Shampoo. It's something. The hairdressers in that one are good. Yeah, it's bizarre.
So what would you give Female Trouble for, a literally or figuratively flaming queen?
Well, let's see. There's
the hairdressers.
Three of the four hairdressers.
And there's the one Aunt Ida brings over to try to seduce Gator.
Oh, yeah, he's a piece of work.
I love him.
That's four really good ones.
Does he say, your trade?
Your trade, yeah. I'm trying to. Yeah, I would. I think it does pretty well. You usually get one real fruity guy in a movie. You don't get. You don't get four screaming.
You don't get that much color.
No.
An embarrassment of bitches.
That's true. There's that. Yeah, I would give. Yes, I think it does quite well. I would say, let's say 98 for that. I think
98.
Yeah, 98 sounds good to me too. Well, actually, you know what? I'm gonna go higher. I'm gonna go 100 because. Divine dies by electric chair.
There you go.
Oh, that's, yeah.
I'm also going to go 100. All right, so we're now into the bonus category. So the movie will not be penalized for not scoring well on these, but these are only going to be added to the total. So instead of 0 to 100, we are now going to score it 0 to 5%, and then we take the average of both. So the first one, makeover montage. Is there a makeover? There's the career girl section.
The career girl section. Also, like when she gets acid in her face.
Yeah.
And all of that.
The wedding is in a montage. Like she goes from a single woman to a married woman.
That's true.
And when they said, would you do my makeup when they unveil her, you know, in the hospital bed with the acid scarred face? And it's like, so 4%. Let's say four.
Yeah, I'll give it four as well.
I will also give it four. All right, next category, angry phone hangups.
There's one point, and I didn't write down who said it, but I did write someone said, go fuck yourself for all I care, and hung up a phone, which is a pretty good way to angrily end a phone call.
I'd say so.
And also, it has there's a calm phone call in it, too, that I think should count, because it's my favorite phone call in a movie.
Reenact it for us now, please.
Donald Dasher calls and said, yes, please have Gator fired. No. No reason. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
That may be my favorite thing in the movie, actually. No reason. I just love the idea of firing someone for no reason. Mm-hmm. I just think that's kind
just
of
felt like it.
No reason. So I think that counts. Five. Let's go 5% for that.
Five.
I'll give it three for that.
3. I'm also going to go 3, giving it a 3.67. All right, next category, a titular theme song.
Divine sings Female Trouble over the opening and closing credits.
Yeah. And it's good, and you want it on this. You're like what? I don't know if I do Stairmaster to that, but you know, you kind of like it. It's,
you could mash it up with something. It could definitely get you going.
Maybe a cool down.
I'm going to go 4 only because I'm thinking of things like Shirley Bassey doing Diamonds Are Forever and things like, you know, that are
Goldfinger.
Let's go 4 on that.
4.
I'm still going to go 5 because I feel like, what more do you want? And also, it's divine, you know?
Truly, I'm also going to go 5. All right, our next category, fun fonts. What'd you rate the fonts in Hairspray?
I think the opening credits are super fun.
Totally.
The interstitials.
They're great too.
And like the letters look like they're written in lipstick.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say 5. I think it's kind of groovy.
I'll go 5 as well.
I'm also going to give it a 5.
I love a good font question. I do. I'm very font conscious. You know, I will like something based on a font, you know?
Sure.
It shows
thought has been put in there.
It shows taste.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
All right. Next category, cheerworthy cameos. Were there any cameos where you stopped and like, hey, that's a cheerworthy cameo?
When that baby that was 2 days old, that was sort of cheerworthy.
You were cheering for that baby?
I was like, that's an actual baby that's 2 days old. And also when Divine stunt double appeared in the, the lipstick saloon? She's the receptionist. She's a woman getting her hair done at one point. The receptionist was actually the mother of the baby.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. That's right. Yeah. I would say the wooden block made by Tex, the wooden helicopter, kind of a cameo.
Yeah. Right there, the opening.
And then Dawn's apartment is John Waters' apartment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we're cheering for that. It's a great apartment. But there's not a ton of like walk-ons.
There's not a lot of like cameos in this.
No. I'm going to be awful and say 1.
1.
Just for that baby. Because it's a baby that's vaguely the right age. Because they always have people give birth to like 2-year-olds. You're sort of in movies, you're just sort of like, you just shit out a 2-year-old. How did you do that? That's insane. So.
I'll give it 1 as well.
I'm also going to go 1.
Yeah.
All right. Next category, pool trouble. Is there any pool? I don't think they can afford a pool.
She goes into this river.
True.
But there's no like pool.
No.
They don't go to like a pool hall and get into a fight. There's not a pool of light that they step out of causing problems.
No.
It's tough on this one.
There's a lot of trouble, but there's not a lot of
pool. Is anyone in a pool of blood? Do we see anybody in a pool of blood?
I don't think so.
No.
I mean, Edith Massey is in a cage.
True.
but it's not a, there's not really even a pool of blood around her hand. It's just a little.
Right, yeah.
I feel. And where did the fish come from when Divine is in the playpen with all the raw fish? It's like, well, they had to have a pool somewhere for them. Maybe not. Maybe just ice. Zero. Oh, I hate myself.
It's okay.
Zero.
It's okay. We don't get penalized here. So it's not like having a, I think I also will have to, unfortunately, go 0.
As will I. All right. Next bonus category. Sassy best friend.
Oh, God. The girl... The girls in the beginning, Divine's.
Yeah.
The cat burglar buddies. I mean, it doesn't get better than either of them.
And I like all those sassy hairdressers. Your hairdresser's your best friend, and they were all so sassy.
I love the smell of shampoo.
Mm-hmm.
And then Donna and Donna Dasher. I mean, when they're still in good with each other, they're kind of the friends you want over because they're awful, you know. I'll take a small portion just to be polite. And I'll have 2 chicken breasts, please. Not having chicken, you know. Everybody's 5% for that one. They're sassy.
5.
I'll go 4.
4. I'm going to go 5. Give an average of 4.67, which is more than Grease 2, which only had a 4%.
Wow.
All right, next category. A bold lip.
I mean, there's a ton. Edith Massey, Divine, there's the lipstick beauty salon. All the lips in this are really, like, in your face.
And some of them were even like acid scarred and still look good. So I think yeah, this is, it's a five for lip, for defined lip. Yeah.
For bold lip, I'm going five as well.
Five. I am also going to go five. Okay. Our next category, witches. How would you rate the witches in Female Trouble? Well, Dawn says at the beginning, get off me, you ugly witch.
It's true.
And then there's also something like Glinda the Good Witch about Taffy as a Hare Krishna.
Sure. I think you're seeing that, but not all of us are seeing that.
Yeah. You don't think there's something like, well, she's like spiritual. You spiritual, know, there's something yeah. like spiritual. And that, you know.
Yeah, she doesn't show up in a bubble or anything, though. But,
No. Just a bubble of enlightenment, I think.
Witches.
There is something very like the mohawk and then, you know, and yeah. then the eye make, there is something like, there's at least something like powerful about that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Let me answer last on this one. I've been wanting to answer last.
I'll go first. It's okay. I'll go first. I'll give it a one for witch. There's not a lot of like literal witchiness happening, literal witch stuff, but there's a lot of witchiness. There's a lot of sort of, something's been sacrificed, it feels like. So, yeah.
Something's been sacrificed. Something has been lost. Something has been gained. We're communing with nature.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also going to give it a one.
Yeah, all right, good. I feel better now. One. Let's say one.
Great. All right, next category. How Korean is it?
Korean?
Yes.
It's not.
It's not really Korean.
No, zero.
Yeah, I'm afraid I have to go zero. Sadly. As well.
I bet it's fun dubbed into Korean.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. It's still running there.
I hope so.
All right, next category. Felt. The material, the process. Felt.
I think there's a bunch. I thought Ernie, who I think was the boyfriend who, what's her name, was brought in. He had like very felty pants. Divine's final navy blue moo-moo was very felty to me.
Yeah.
Is that just a lot of... that's more velour and velvety.
You're probably right. We're a little loosey-goosey with this one.
Can we substitute felt or other tactile fabrics, maybe? Could that be the category?
As we've learned, felt is actually a process. It's not an actual thing. It's like what you do to a material or fabric to make it felty.
Oh, felting, mm-hmm. yes. Not mm-hmm. to be confused.
No.
Never mind. Felt, I don't know. I'm only going to give it a one for felt.
One.
I'm going to give it a two.
Two. I'm going to go three just because also it was like, what year was this? 74?
74, yeah.
That was like, felt was king, I feel like. All right, next category. Gay actors playing gay roles. I mean,
I imagine those hairdressers were probably gay.
And Gator not would be my guess. And
Divine is playing Dawn, who we've established to be at least bisexual.
That's true.
And playing was it Earl Peterson? Was that the name of the dad? I would say let's go. I don't know. Is it a four or a five? What do you think? Four.
I'm probably gonna go four.
Let's go four.
Four. I will also
because it's not like the boys in the band on Broadway, you know,
no.
where everybody, you know, the fire extinguishers were gay in that theater that night. You know.
All right, our next category: themes of mothers.
Oh, there's five. Five. Yeah. Oh my God! Even the aunt takes on a mother role.
I Absolutely. Mean,
she wants her nephew to be gay so he doesn't have to be boring and lead a horrible life as a heterosexual.
Classic story.
Classic. Yeah. Also give it a five.
Totally. I'm also going to give it a because also like Taffy is like terrible, but she does ultimately want her mother's love.
Yeah.
All right. Next category. A feels song. Is there a song in Female Trouble that puts you in your feels?
As in like, you know, The Shallows, that kind of weepy sort of song.
Yeah. Sure. That works. Yeah.
Sentimental.
I don't know. I get kind of choked up when Divine's running down the street to dig, dig, dig-a-roni. I think that
Absolutely.
It's a different kind That's of fair. Emotion.
That's okay. Feels are many things.
Yeah. I get all worked up over it. That counts, right? That's,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'll give it a five for dig, dig, dig-a-roni, dig, 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 dig-a-roni.
I'll give it a two for that one.
Two. I'm also going to give it a two.
Yeah, that's...
All right.
That's more truthful.
It's all right.
Next category, gossip. How gossipy is Female Trouble?
Super gossipy. They're at a beauty salon. They're gossiping in the ladies' room. It's just a ton of gossip.
All the talk of Gator's sexuality.
Yep.
Oh, even on Christmas when she talks about, you know, she better get them cha-cha heels. You know, it's just, it's very, she's divine in her, and, you know, Dawn and her gal pals when they're young. Then when they're older and she says how awful it is being a mother, and she kind of is confiding in them. Yeah, it's very dishy and soul bearing in a strange, warped kind of way. I'll say four for that one.
Four.
I'll say four as well.
Four. I will also say four. All right, this next category, we have two categories left. This last one is an all or nothing. 15% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. Does Female Trouble have a positive portrayal of homosexuality?
Yes.
I would say it does. It absolutely does.
So I'm not disagreeing, but like, speak on that.
Well, for me, it just because like the movie is obviously made by gay people, and it's a great, fun, awesome, progressive, dangerous, edgy, everything you want out of a movie, and it's great. So to me, what better portrayal of gay people could you show to somebody than Female Trouble? Like, look what gay people can do when left to their own devices. And isn't that beautiful?
When giving $25,000.
Yeah.
Right?
Because you've got a mother figure in Aunt Ida, and what she says to her nephew, she says, I'd be so happy if you was a fag. It's like, we all hoped our parents would say that when we came out to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was like, oh, thank heaven.
And because it's really an indictment of heterosexuality more than anything.
Indeed.
The idea that that's an awful thing that could happen to you is you turn out to be heterosexual is really pretty hilarious to for 1974.
Especially in 1974. Yeah, absolutely. So,
it's like, hi, what just happened? Oh, yeah, we had Stonewall. That was good. What do you want to know? We're going to just say that heterosexual life is perverted and horrible and everybody should be gay. It's like, that's pretty bold.
Okay, great. So, that's a good second act.
Yeah. What do you think, John?
No, I agree. I mean, I think it's not like it's not, you know, a public service announcement for like pro-homosexuality. And like, if my aunt was worried when I came out to her, I wouldn't be like, let's sit and watch Female Trouble and that will calm you down about being worried that I'm gay. But I do overall think like, yeah, again, as you said, like, it's just so it's full of life. It's so empowering. Like, it's so delightful and wacky that it just feels like, oh, this is it was funny in watching it. My husband and I were talking about how like it's strange that there's no movie or any sort of big work of art about these people at this time. Like, it just seemed like, didn't you want to be one of John Waters' actors? Didn't you want to be, like, every time I see those movies, I just think, I just want to be a part of that. Even though, like, they're apparently like, freezing cold.
Yeah.
They're, like, probably, like, miserable making these movies and don't know what's happening. And they're asked to, like, fuck a dead chicken and eat dog shit. It just seemed like such a crazy, wonderful time to be in such a great group of people that I definitely wished I was a part of it.
I have to say I was watching it and I was getting that same feeling because I don't want to say downsides of being in a very successful marriage is that you almost don't have your bestie. And I don't really have, I mean, I have a female friend that I'm very close to, but my guy friends that I had in college, I keep in touch. But I don't call them every day. I don't gossip with them. So I was watching it, looking at the Dreamlanders, as John's troop was called. And I thought, oh, I kind of wish I were part of some group where you were expected to bring your art equivalent of a Jell-O salad. You know, that you were supposed to show up and be that guy in this group. And I've always kind of worked alone pretty often, you know, I've opened for someone, that sort of thing, but you know, it's so rare that I've had a return dialogue to someone, you know. I mean, I've not written with people, I've not performed with that many people. Usually I get up and do a monologue or I'll do a stand-up routine or something, but there's not a lot of I talk and then listen and you talk, you know. I'm not used to that, so I kind of, you know, in watching it, you think, oh, I wonder what it must be like to be in a group of such creative people where you were such a vital part,
And also just the sense of like, it's you against the world, you know what I mean? And also like, fuck this straight world, like the queer sensibility of it all, of like everything like the straight people hold sacred, we don't give a shit about.
Yeah.
And that's gotta be so exciting too.
And also right, I think the idea that someone as brilliant as John Waters is someone who looks at you and goes, oh, you know, it would really be funny. No, I think anybody who's been, anybody who's been funny on in any medium is like, oh, to have someone that brilliant go, you know, you ought to say this. It would be so nice to, you know, when I was working on The Daily Show, you know, I mean, I was working with other people who in those days and writing with them, and they were as funny as anybody's ever been writing for television. They're brilliant. They were brilliantly funny writers. So if I miss anything, I miss being in those kinds of good hands where you could be like that somebody sitting next to you could hand you something even funnier than you can think up for yourself, like maybe 10 times funnier than what you thought yourself, and you know, or they'll take your little idea and go, you know, this is when it really
works. We could take it to this place, and you're like, oh my god,
that to me is what I look at here, and I think, oh, that must be a great situation to be in.
So I think we're all agreed. It is a positive portrayal of homosexuality.
Absolutely.
Yes. All righty.
All right. And then
now
finally,
final question. Here we
negative 50%. If this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so it will not be penalized 50% of its points.
All right. So Frank, how do you think Female Trouble ranked?
How do you think you did? This is it. We're at the end of our scoring system.
How do I think? I got lost. The moment we said Boat Trip, it was like someone shook my Etch-a-Sketch and I didn't know what we're saying now. I'm confused.
Do you know, Boat Trip was a movie that came out. I don't remember when it came out, but it was basically a gay panic movie where Horatio Sands.
Yeah, I saw that movie. It was terrible.
Well, if anyone ever brings in Boat Trip, they will be penalized 50% of the score. But luckily, you didn't do that.
No,
so
I said female. I picked the best movie ever.
Well, true. Let's see. The numbers don't lie.
Let's see. How do we do, Mark?
So out of a total possible 3,139.35, Female Trouble has scored 2,977.02, giving it a percentage of 94.83, making it by far the gayest movie ever.
Yay! Number one. Congratulations.
Now I don't mind that there was no Pride Parade this year. I feel so much better. This is the best.
Yay!
It's about 15 points further than Grease 2.
Wow. Dude,
I don't know if I've ever seen Grease 2. I have it. I just don't know if I've ever seen it. I have to watch that movie. I like when people say it's better than Grease because Grease is one of those movies. When it's on TV, it's like,
you're not going anywhere.
No, if you're flicking channels and it's on, you're like, well, there's 2 hours. That's it. Yeah. Not going anywhere now. So.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the Grease 2 is better than Grease, but Grease 2 definitely does have its charms.
Oh, I'm sure, definitely. But you know, so does Glitter. You know, I mean, I remember Glitter was the first movie I saw after 9/11. You know, and we all thought, oh God, we're never gonna laugh again. And then there was Mariah Carey in high heels with a 30-year-old cat. You know, she's standing there in an evening gown in a front lawn. You know, her heels sinking in the mud, and she's holding her 30-year-old cat, and you're just like, oh, we're still gonna laugh.
We're gonna
be okay now. I do. That was when I learned to respect Mariah Carey. Was Glitter.
She just announced today her memoir, which is titled "The Meaning of Mariah Carey."
Oh,
which I can't wait to read personally.
Finally, some questions will be answered.
Well, Frank, that was it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You
Frank,
did it.
So
you brought
fun.
In the gayest movie ever. Is there anything you would like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
Yes, I would. Yes, I would, Gator. I would love for people to check out two things of mine. One is my drag book, Drag Call Me Through the Big Wigs of Show Business, which is also available as an audiobook on Audible, which we love a lot. Lady Bunny co-narrated it with me, so it's very fun.
Great.
And the other thing is, I wrote what is now called, quote unquote, a pioneering queer memoir. Back in 1996, called A Boy Named Phyllis. And it came out from Viking Penguin, and they put it in the gay studies section rather than the humor section. So you can imagine how
more
well
foot
it did.
Traffic.
Yes, yeah. It was so good to be in gay studies. So it's this funny little memoir about growing up in New Jersey in the 60s and 70s and being a little queer little butterball. And And so I wrote this book, and it was very beautifully reviewed, but it didn't go anywhere in terms of numbers and stuff. And then it went out of print because it's 20 some years now. But anyway, I recorded it for Audible as an audiobook last year. It's back from the depths of being not in print. And part of the Literature for Change program, which is you go in your couch and there's enough change in the cushions to buy a copy on Amazon. Literature for Change. It's good. You'll like it. But, I read the whole thing myself. And I have to say, for a book written in 94, 95, its attitudes about being a dirty queer are pretty progressive and very born this way. And very, it does very well on the pro-gay literature. Like this,
when they make a movie out of it and someone brings it in, it'll score well.
I hope. I just like the first part of that. When somebody makes a movie, I don't care. I don't care if they make it and people hate it. I just want them to make it.
Want someone to buy the rights.
Yeah, like for more than a nickel. Yes, it's true. I spend money so well. I don't know why people don't want to give it to me. I spend money better than most people. I'm really good.
They need to support your craft.
It's true. I met a gay recently before we still could leave our houses, and he said he had three pair of shoes, and I wanted to call the Make-A-Wish Foundation. I was horrified. What? I have more than three pair of purple shoes. I mean, why would you not? Why? Why would you have three pair of shoes? This is why we live in America. Is you can have, that you can shop in your closet because there's 20 of everything. It's like,
I think the organization you call to help a gay people is Make a Swish.
Make a Swish. That would be perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, it made me so sad. It really, three
Some people
pair
have no
of
taste.
Shoes. No, it's just it's, that frugality is the worst thing ever. Wait, buy 10 of everything. It's waste shit. Come on, spend, be American, spend money you don't have. It was horrifying. So anyway,
perfect.
I'll go try on my shoes now. I will.
There you go.
Well,
get
thank
your
you
cha-cha
so much.
Heels.
You've been such a delight.
It's been such a delight, Frank. So much fun.
Oh, the pleasure was all mine. Thank you, guys. This is swell.
All right, and we'll
be right back. We're back. I mean, wow. Talk about number one with a bullet. That one.
Totally. I mean, it's like 15 points higher than the next closest. But when I was watching it, I was like, oh, there's no way. There's nothing. There's no better. This is the game.
Yeah, this is it.
This is it. This is what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the difference, too, with like a gay director. You know what I mean? Like, this is, it's such a
It
huge
just sort of
difference.
Bleeds into every category.
Every frame.
Mm-hmm.
Just that's such
that's
a gay
true,
sensibility.
Definitely. Yeah.
I mean, this is the rightful number one. I think it's going to be a long time before anything. I don't know. Even of John Waters movies, I don't know what's gay,
Right. I mean, maybe a Pink Flamingos, maybe.
Maybe.
But also, like, it also, at that point, it's sort of like, meh.
Apples and oranges.
Apples or just a tiny little things here and there.
Dog shit and fish masturbation.
Exactly. It really comes down to that. That's really what it'll come down to. If anyone should ever bring in that movie.
But so fun.
So much fun. And Frank is such a delight. I'm so glad
yes,
we finally
I love
got to
the
have
insights.
Him. Yes. Speaking of insights, we got an email from one of our listeners. It's from Travis. And the subject line is 100 and Art Inspiration. And Travis says, the episode of Little Shop of Horrors inspired me to sculpt a piece for my friend's birthday. I'm a sculptor in my free time and thought the Queens would like to know you've inspired joy in the world.
That's nice.
He sent some pictures and they are delightful of a little baby Audrey too. I will email him and see if it's all right if we post them when this episode comes out.
That'd be great.
Because that would be fun.
That sounds fun.
He also says, I absolutely love the new scoring system. If you ever need someone to discuss Mamma Mia, here we go again. I have some very strong thoughts about it.
I mean, I think it's better than the first.
Okay, fair enough. And then finally, keep up the great work and never stop being your hilarious selves. From Travis. Thank you so much, Travis.
Thank you, Travis. That's so nice.
So nice.
Are you a fan of the Mamma Mia franchise?
Me? I am, yeah. I remember seeing the musical on stage first and being like, this is... I was like, more thought it was annoying, but then after I saw it again, I was like, oh, it's just fun. And so yeah. I've seen the stage version, I think, two or three times. And then I've only seen the movies each once, but they are definitely a lot of fun.
I think I've seen the second one five times.
Wow. What happened?
I mean, nothing. I just enjoy it. It's just a romp.
Also, oh, that was like when
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I had a friend who said he saw it a bunch because he had the AMC movie card, and it came out in the summer, and he did not have AC at home, so he just would go in. He's like, it's perfect. It's a silly movie. It's like 3 hours long. You get just get to sit in AC.
It is not 3 hours long.
It's over two. It's like 2.5 at least, right?
No.
I think so. There's a lot of songs.
I don't think it is. There is a lot of songs, but I'm pretty sure it's under 2 hours.
I don't think it's under 2 hours.
Or it's 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. If only there was a three.
2 hours and 10 minutes is almost three. Mm-hmm. Hold on. I'm looking it up right now.
Right.
Me too. Running time. It is 1 hour and 54 minutes.
That
Thank
feels
you.
Like a different cut. A very different. Well, when
no,
you had the trailers,
you're
when
a
you had
fool.
The other movies.
Mamma Mia, the first one is 1 hour and 50 minutes. And for some reason, it's telling me the running time of Mary Poppins Returns, 2 hours and 10 minutes. Are you thinking of Mary Poppins Returns?
I know the difference between Lin-Manuel Miranda and anyone in Mamma Mia 2.
Fair enough. You're the one.
That was great. If you guys have anything, if we've inspired any art, please send us pictures of it.
We love art.
We love art. We love inspiration. We love hearing from you. You can email us at twooldqueens@gmail.com.
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at twooldqueens, twooldqueens. Follow me on Letterboxd. I maintain a list of our current rankings with the guests and the categories. So that's fun. It's a nice visual interface.
Yeah. And
we don't know what we're doing.
Don't know our
movies
next week, but
our
guest
has yet to decide.
This whole new regime and whole new world.
All is right with the world.
Yes,
I was thinking there because there's a world where it could have gotten over 100% with the bonus.
Oh, if we got more bonus,
you know what I mean? But it didn't.
But how does that happen? Because you, I don't know that.
Because the because it did. If it had less, if it had scored higher in the canon categories, because then you're. Because it got some low scores in the canon. Because the bonus is based on what you scored up to that point.
Right.
So it's possible.
But you also add to the bottom line, though, don't you? So that something can't get over. Because you always say, like, out of a total X number of points.
Yeah, but that's different for every movie.
But why is that? What makes that different?
It's what they score in the canon category. Is out of the total.
No, but you say out of this many possible points, it makes this.
Yes.
So that out of the same potential possible points, it should always be the same, right?
No, it's different. Every
but
movie
why is it different? What makes it different?
It's the canon. It's whatever they scored in the canon are their total possible points.
No, I understand that. But you say, out of a possible X number of points, you scored this number of points.
I don't know, John. You're
the
confusing.
Possible number of points should always be the same, and the number of points they score should be different.
Oh, it's 2,000. Is that what we're talking about? I don't know. Does it matter? Do we have to get into this now?
You're breaking my brain. Edit this out for and use it on another episode.
I don't know what to tell you. I think okay. I understand. Okay. My concept of math is slippery at best.
Okay,
I know it when I know,
glad,
and if I'm not
glad,
using it
glad
every
you're
day,
in charge of the spreadsheet. Then.
Hey,
perfect.
I fill out the boxes. What more that's do I right. need to do? I don't make the formulas. But that's it. We'll see you next week. We don't know
yes.
what we're doing. Thank you so much for listening.
Yes.
We love you. Be safe.
Rate,
wear a mask.
Wear a mask, guys.
While
let
you
people
rate
know.
And review.
Yeah, tell people if you like the podcast. We love to get those ratings and reviews and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, and we'll read your stuff on the air. Wouldn't that
be
a thrill?
Yeah. Who doesn't want that?
All right, that's all.
All right.
Goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Connie Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Goodbye. We didn't get that right.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.